I feel like they announced me, Alan Smith, will be publishing stories out of the Express and Journal on Wednesday, February 21st. So, a bit later, getting a Doric Express Dean of Day. It was had a he left her in doing at Downey's Village, seeing my nephew Cameron for seeing for Australia for a while. So, and his partner JJ. So, fine to see Aberdeen, and it was a lashing rain from a good doing here, and after foggy as usual at Downey's, but I actually turned out quite a fine afternoon, so I had to eat my words. But, just to wish my safe trip back to Australia, and then I'm back to Melbourne via Barcelona, and going to visit Barcelona for a couple of days, and then on to Hong Kong, and then home to Melbourne, so a fair trip in front of them. But, yeah, safe journey, and good to see you, Cameron and JJ. Anyway, front page paper today is a animal neglect duo get £5,000 fine and 10-year ban. So, an Aberdeenshire farm worker and his partner have been banned for keeping animals for 10 years if they're admitting a shocking catalogue of neglect involving their livestock and pets. Adrian Ogg and Gillian Moyer were also fined a total of nearly £5,000 for admitting keeping the creatures in squalid conditions. Sheep were found to have suffered weight loss and had to be put down. A pony was discovered in an emaciated state, and a pygmy goat was found dead when the Scottish SPCA inspectors visited the pair's property aside Inverurie. Oh my God. The carcasses of three ferrets were also found in a filthy hutch. So they each admitted four charges causing animals unnecessary suffering. Aberdeen Sheriff Court heard Ogg had been working as a farm hand for 20 years and would not have been kept on to look after animals if he was not good at it, and that Moyer had taken in so many animals she'd become overwhelmed. Their ban does not include sheep, pigs, cats and dogs, so seems a bit strange, but there we are. So they're not allowed to hear an elephant or a giraffe or an alligator, but they can, a cat or a doggy. And that's just a horrible, horrible thing to think about, the folk about using animals and they're looking after them. It's, fine like that doesn't seem enough, but anyway, that's what they've gotten. Now here's a lot less gas. We'll kickstart plans to fix a tomb, so a restoration project 16 years in the making is finally getting underway thanks to National Lottery cash. The Eliza Fraser Mausoleum in Cluny Kirkyard is set to be returned to its A-listed glory within a year after an additional £19,500 grant for the Lotto's Heritage Fund. The cash brings the total amount provided by the fund to £99,746. The North East Scotland Preservation Trust owns the mausoleum and secured the funds for a restoration project developed with the Friends of the Eliza Fraser Mausoleum. The mausoleum was built in 1808 for Eliza Fraser, then the owner of Castle Fraser, which is now a National Trust for Scotland property. The structure was designed by her friend, architect James Byers of Thornley, a founder member of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. Eliza died in 1814 and lies in her mausoleum along with several generations of her family. But the last few decades, the monument has fallen into a critical state of decay. The Friends launched plans to save the monument in 2008, but were beset by issues over ownership and pandemic delays. The group's chairman, John Fraser, said it's wonderful to see the project finally starting 210 years after Eliza's death, and after many years of effort from the Friends of the group. So the mausoleum's a guy thing, it's a photo with that, and yeah, if you're very, very interested in that kind of thing, again, some folk is, worth a swing by Cluny Crossroads, a Cluny Kirkyard, if you're going by that direction anyway. But so the owner of Castle Fraser will be a fine, new, shiny mausoleum to need decrepit like it is now. Now here's the accent-free parking is a kick in the teeth, said Toons Trader. So this is Inverurie business owners have branded Aberdeenshire Council's plans to axe free parking for the Burn Lane car park as a kick in the teeth. The proposal is part of a massive savings plan aimed at filling a £35.5 million financial gap for the year ahead. Cutting free spaces at Pye and Display car parks would save £151,000 across next year. The move would not only impact Burn Lane in Inverurie, but also Hanover Street in Fraserburgh, High Street in Turriff, and St Mary's in Banff. Oh, well, that's part of a lot of that places now. Free was a big attraction, I'll tell you. Officials say action is needed because prices were last set in 2019 and lower usage since COVID means the council has named tucking in as much money as it did before. As well as chopping free parking, the council is also looking at increasing its standard charges by up to 30%. And moves could be made to tuck over dishing out fines for the bobbies in another bid to secure extra cash. Business owners in Inverurie are pleading for councillors to vote against the change later this week. One even angrily accused the authority of following the same path as in Aberdeen City Council amid claims that traffic changes have deterred visitors and hammered central firms. The owner of Inverurie Whisky Shop, Mike Stewart, doesn't think parking charges would stop folk from visiting the town, but he suggests it would put a halt to folk spending quality time in the town centre and its unique shops. He says it wouldn't stop folk coming in, but it will stop them browsing. I think they'll come in, leave it to FTD and going home again. Inverurie is a town that thrives on hidden gems and places that you might not know. If you've got that time with the free parking to mooch around and have a look, you'll discover that. Well, very true. Certainly, plenty of moochers about Inverurie. Now, here's a bit of an about them. Fisk into Lion Store for the city's Marks and Sparks store. So, as you've seen, the closing down posters are not up yet, but the first subtle signs of the end have appeared at Aberdeen's flagship Marks and Spencer store. Shoppers who favour the traditional city centre branch are now being notified about fits and offers just a short distance away at Union Square. The St Nicholas Street shop will shut in 2025, by which time a £15 million revamp to double the size of the nearby unit should be complete. Attempts to sell the Arles building are already underway, with mounting speculation and fit its future could HUD. When M&S announced the closure, management stressed they would not simply abandon the shop. They pledged to work to find a suitable alternative use for it. Of course, this is nothing new for them. Aberdeen is far from alone in seeing the closure of its original M&S. So if it can, we see for the other end. So Glasgow, in April 22, Marks and Sparks confirmed the closure of its 90-year-old Sauchie Hall Street store in Glasgow City Centre. It opened in 1935. It's almost a decade older than Aberdeen. Bosses claim the efforts to secure a new future bode well for the Granite City. M&S chiefs are now working with developers Fusion to create a £76 million 18-storey block of flats. The Art Deco frontage will be retained while the rest of the building is redeveloped. They say that bringing an estimated 500 extra folk to live in the struggling street will boost trade. And now if this was to happen in Aberdeen, it would tie in with the council's similar desire to get more folk calling Union Street area a home. So, well, that's one end. Another end, is in Liverpool. This is in Church Street in Liverpool. The market's moved into an old Debenham store. That was a shift for a 350,000 square feet building to a 70,000 square feet space. So that's certainly downsizing. Now that ended in about empty land because the Fraser's Group, which owns House of Fraser, Jack Wells and other brands, has now bought the building. And it intends to open a huge Sports Direct store. We hope for a new gym if given planning permission. So, well, a different options obviously, but you know, I think a lot of folk would maybe like to buy a flat in the Al Marks and Sparks or, you know, maybe a big, great big sports shop. Although there is a Sports Direct just across the road, but a sports shop with a gym might be attraction fast again. But, you know, it needs to be something decent and it needs to be a bit of money spent on it forever while you look at it. So, yeah, certainly there's options on the go for the Marquis folk and he's hoping to pick a right team for Aberdeen. Now, here's a thing that's very dear to my heart now. Lyle's Golden Syrup. And they're having a logo change apparently after 140 years. So, Lyle's Golden Cerebus replaces logo of a dead lion being swarmed by bees with an apparently happier animal and a single bee in its first rebrand since 1883. Jeepers creepers. The product's green tin and golden lion packaging was first launched in 1881 and holds a Guinness World Record for the world's oldest unchanged brand packaging, having remained essentially identical since 1883. Jeepers. The original design was the idea of the product's founder, Scottish businessman Abraham Lyle, who decided to include a Christian analogy in the tins. Now, I had no idea about this, but maybe we are mere godly folk, you might care. The Book of Judges details Samson killing a lion with his bare hands before returning to the carcass a couple days later to find a swarm of bees had created a hive in his body. In the story, Samson then took honey from the hive and fed it to his parents without telling them far he got it from. He later asks guests at his wedding to solve the riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. A version of the riddle is, out of the strong came forth sweetness, was chosen for the logo of Lyle's Golden Syrup and has remained on the tins ever since. Lyle's said the branding has been revitalised for a modern UK family in a move to refresh the brand's legacy to appeal to a 21st century audience. The rebrand will take place across the full product range, including the classic tin, which will retain the original illustration. James Whiteley, brand director for Lyle's, said, "We're excited to unveil a fresh design for the Lyle's Golden Syrup brand." So, well, I guess I've had umpteen tins of syrup over the years, and I never noticed that it was a dead lion with bees coming in with it, and it came for it with. So, now I look at it, I can understand. And, see, now the Doric Express can teach you something every day. So now you get something about if it was in the Book of Judges, when with Samson. So amaze your pals. Now just finish up with Sport as Normal, and back pages, Ramirez reveals pain at Dawn's exit. So former Aberdeen striker Christian Ramirez has opened up in the grey cloud over his head during the final months of the ordeal, which got so bad he was hospitalised for 3 days. The 32-year-old suffered a panic attack in December 22 as the uncertainty of everything at the Dons took its toll. Ramirez also explained how he was goaded by a group of Aberdeen supporters after a game at St Johnstone, who he says hoped to provoke a negative reaction as they filmed the striker. It was the same group who yelled at Ramirez's wife Valerie as she walked to her car with her two young daughters at McDermott Park. Now he's at MLS club Columbus Crew in the United States, for they won the MLS Cup in December. Ramirez is thriving and in a completely different mental space for the dark period late in his year and a half long spell with the Dons. So, well, that's, good on the boy. If he's, he's going to take a debut for me, and it was a bit of a shame how he left. But, some fans are just gypes, and isn't he? If it's a point in good on the boy, he was, did his best for the Aberdeen teams here, and he's certainly scored a lot of goals. So, best of luck to him and his family, and glad he's won that cup with him. Here's hoping Aberdeen can do something similar this season. So come on, Aberdeen. Now that's me done for the now. So we publish the result of today's Prison Journal on February 21st, 2024. And as I say, starting off quite a rainy morning today. In fact, it was just hail water properly, and then as we got, drove a lot down to Downies today, there was certainly a lot of water on the road. It was very dark and very mochy from what we got down here. And, that's my perception of Downies being foggy and cold and rainy. But, my God, I must say, it turned out near bad after any of that, and very bright and breezy. And I believe Wolf was very happy to share. Heaps of grub today, and a fine catch-up, as I said, with Cameron and JJ and my sister and brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law, and my niece is loon coming about to now, so it was a fair house for folk. A wee dog Ozzy was with us, and he was
highly delighted got for person to person getting claps and I'm sure a hell of a extra biscuits, which he never turns down. Anyway, thanks very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, tell a pal about it and tell them they can follow us on Spotify. They'll never miss an episode. If that is fit, you know, they're feared about. If you can do that, it would just be magic. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.